Welcome back, AIMP National Pubcast listeners. This is your host, Tim Hunzi. I cannot wait for y'all to get into this episode today. We are sitting with Position Music. We talk with Tyler Bacon, the president and CEO, and Mark Cappello, who's a partner and head of A&R. And we talk about the art of strategy and gambling and placing your bets on music. These guys delve into a lot of different subjects. I think you're really going to enjoy the episode. So sit back, buckle in, and enjoy the ride. Welcome aboard, guys. Let's since I have two of you, Tyler, let's jump in with you. Give us a little background, maybe a little bit of a transition on how you got Position started.
Sure. Started Position in 1999. We're actually having our 25th anniversary party next week. We're based in Los Angeles, but I started my career in Nashville. I went to MTSU and worked for a couple indie labels in Nashville. And the last label was shut down. And so I was kind of forced to figure out a job. And so I ended up starting Position. And like conceptually, all it was I started representing some record labels and publishers and artists for film and TV placement. So I was just looking to get songs in film, TV, advertising, wherever I could get songs. You know, movie soundtracks was kind of the more of the thing back then. I didn't think exactly how big of a world sync could be, but figured it out kind of along the way here.
So Mark, let's jump in. Give us a little bit of your background and then tie that into how you and Tyler got connected.
Glad to be here. And my background, I grew up in LA, grew up in a musical family. My dad was a touring musician. So I feel fortunate that I thought that was like a real career. I think a lot of people grow up and they're not surrounded by anyone who's doing something creative or, you know, doing music for a living. And they just don't think like, oh, I could actually do that as a job. But I always thought in the back of my head that could work. I've only worked at Position 13 years, but I've known Tyler for 20 years. Because the first 7 years of our relationship, I was a drummer and tour manager for an artist named Tyrone Wells, and Tyler was managing. So obviously, if I was not a good drummer and or tour manager, he could have pulled Tyrone to move on. So he could have got me fired, but you know, he never wrote me a check for the first 7 years of our relationship. I was working for Tyrone alongside Tyler. And obviously, I will pat myself on the back, like, you know, a manager's best friend is a really good tour manager. So I was able to take, I think, a lot off of his plate as Position Music was starting to grow and take up, you know, a lot of time and energy. I've made the touring aspect, I think, of Tyrone's career not something Tyler had to focus on a lot, you know, because Tyler's background as an A&R guy was like really making the record. So we were a good team, I think, during those years. Tyrone was signed to Republic, and Tyler would really help, you know, on the A&R front and strategy and that part of Tyrone's career and bigger picture, you know, with the label. And then I was kind of at the tip of the spear when it came to all things touring, whether it was merch or radio or press. And it was, you know, good for me. I spent basically all my 20s on the road. And then I was 29, kind of looking at 30, and I think 30 makes you think about the rest of, you know, the next couple decades of your life. And I just felt like I didn't want to be on the road all the time. And so that is when I started with Position. And, you know, it's kind of feels like we're hitting this in a second chapter of things now where we're just starting to chase some different things and have some different opportunities. So I'm having a lot of fun.
What was some of the plan and strategy behind growing, and how did you grow in those early years, and what were some of the areas you grew into, and what was your strategy behind that?
Yeah, you know, I started out repping catalogs, and 2 years into the company, a music supervisor buddy of mine said, you know, you're doing the work of a publisher. And it really was a light bulb moment, because I hadn't really thought in those terms. I was just like, I just find cool music and try to find cool opportunities for it. But the idea of a publisher is kind of a longer term participant in that process. You know, like it really struck me where when we put a song in a movie, when I was just repping a label, like I got paid once. And, or if I was repping a publisher, I got paid once, just the fee on that sync fee, I'd get a piece of it. But like a good example is we used to represent Brian Setzer, Brian Setzer Orchestra. And, you know, most people listening probably know the movie Elf. And we put a Brian Setzer Orchestra song in Elf. And that movie is going to play every Christmas for the rest of our lives and the rest of our kids' lives and beyond. And I got paid once for that. Like, I do not own the publishing on that song. Uh-huh. And all of that performance income, I'm not participating in. And it's like, you know what? It's hard to scale a business with, you know, one-time fees. And so I started thinking more in terms of like, I need to be a publisher. So, but as a publisher that didn't have any money, so that makes it kind of hard. And because typically one of the functions of a publisher is giving a writer a paycheck. And I didn't really have money for advances. So what I ended up doing is just like single song deals. And rather than signing a writer to a proper term deal, you know, an exclusive deal, it was just song by song. So of our 25 years, pretty much for the first 16 years of the company, it was all built on single song deals.
Wow.
And I mean, we eventually got some scale as a company and was able to start investing in writers in a larger way, which gave us exclusivity, which gave us, you know, a greater relationship with that writer rather than just one song at a time. But kind of earned our way in. You know, it's like, hey, give me two songs. I'll give you this small advance. And if I do a good job, we can do some more together. And if I don't do a good job, you lost two songs.
Mark, I'm kind of interested. If you could explain, like, if I'm an artist, like, well, what should I be looking for if I think I can do sync? Like, what are some of the keys to like writing for sync? Or if you're an artist that's thinking about sync? Because what I used to get, still kind of do, I think they're a little more educated now, is like, most of the writers that would come in and say, well, I write stuff for, you know, radio, but, you know, I also write this stuff for sync. And when I'd listen to it, it's basically like weird left of center stuff that they just think, oh, well, that's cool because it's left of center, it'll be sync. And that's completely wrong because there's some ABCs of sync. Maybe you could touch on some of that. And then what is it that you see, because being the head of the A&R, like, what is it you see that makes someone like, oh, that'll be a good sync band, or that's a band I think I can do something with?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like fundamentally one of the most important things is shifting the way you kind of look and listen to the song, and that will craft how a writer producer makes the music. That, you know, the lyric and melody of that song when it's used in a sync is most typically not the star. The star is whatever's going on the TV, on the movie screen. You are supporting another story. So the story is not the lyric and melody, which is in a lot of ways like polar opposite to like country, you know, like great country songs. It is all about the lyric and the melody, and sometimes mostly the lyric. In sync, quite often you're going to mute the top line and it's going to be an instrumental track, you know, especially in an ad. In an ad, you're going to have 15 or 30 seconds to sell a Toyota, a car, a beer, a Target, you know, whatever it is. So it's really about production, instrumental, what is going on sonically in the track that makes it really easy for an editor to cut to picture. So it's really thinking about that. Like, you're an editor, you're in an edit bay, you have to make this commercial exciting. What kind of track will help that editor's job be really easy? So the lyric and melody is often important in just selling the overall song. Like, hey, and then most often what they're going to do is find one like key lyric in that chorus, and that's going to be the one thing that ducks in. So you're often giving these editors stems. So it's instrumental, a bunch of voiceover. And then there's that one phrase that pays that's used. And you think about, you know, a song back in the day we would reference by The Heavy, How You Like Me Now. But so much of that track had this great instrumental, you know, ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so all of the kind of candy in that track was what would play behind picture, all that melody. So I call it often non-lyrical melodic hooks. So that could be a saxophone riff. That could be a hey, hey, nah, nah, nah. But all that stuff gives some melody, but it doesn't fight with voiceover lyrically. So those are like the big things I think that really are effective. So we've now told you all the tricks. You can just take over the world. But it's how you do that and then do it at the highest level and still make the music great. Like it's like anything, like you can know all the technical rules of something. You know, there is some science, but there's a lot of art, and it is how it's still a song, and how does it make people feel, and is it inspiring and emotional, and or all these other things.
What is it within the company that makes it this so successful, and what is it about the culture that has people stay and be so loyal to the company?
I think, you know, fundamentally, Tyler's a really great architect and really is always thinking about things as like puzzles. Like, it's so funny because like there'll be certain puzzles in our business we come up to that I'm like, oh man, this is going to be so difficult or so daunting. And Tyler will, like, I'll be thinking that in my brain. He's like, oh, this is so fun. I get to figure out how to fix this puzzle. You know, it's like the satisfaction of like seeing, oh, this is a big problem. But if we tackle it and we nail it, it's got all this upside, and like he gets great joy and pleasure out of figuring out these problems and how he can solve them. And, you know, he's got that bug when it comes to physical building. Like he loves, you know, building and design and architecture. But I think also it's the same brain that looks at the architecture of our company, whether that's, you know, how we've scaled departments over the years and where, okay, we've signed all these things and we're growing on the publishing side. All right, so we need to add this piece on the admin side to support that because, you know, the pipes have to be bigger. If we're putting more songs through the pipes, we have to widen it. But when is the right time to do all that? So I think a lot of it is, you know, Tyler, I think, has this really great blend of realizing that you have to always be thinking about the next income stream, right? It's like whatever it is that is kind of keeping the lights on for us now will probably not be the same thing in 5 years. So like early on when I started, like trailer music, we were doing a lot of this like epic orchestral trailer music that was like over the top and explosive and all these like action films. And as that was going really well, Tyler's like, we need to be getting more ads. Like we need to have songs that are going to get into Target commercials and, you know, into Old Navy spots. So, you know, Mark and there's another A&R guy, Jake, like you need to figure out how to sign music that's going to work in ads. Cause currently we're not making enough money in ads. So early on, it was like, how do we diversify our revenue within sync? Then as we really were rounding out ads, we kind of cracked that code. It was like, how do we diversify even more into, you know, the record label side and the publishing side? So I think it's like having this combination, I think what's really unique with Tyler of being like kind of bold and willing to take risks, but not too many risks. You know, it's like, I think he has a healthy fear of how hard it is to do things. Like as we are evolving into a pop publisher and a record label, I think Tyler has this great blend of like confidence, but like not reckless. Like, you know, he like, it's like, this is going to be really hard and we can't be cocky. Like we have to know it's going to be hard, but we'll figure it out and we're not going to quit. We're going to find a way. And so I think that's what's really enabled us to grow. And I think then the other thing is really recruiting people and making them feel and actually letting them be mini entrepreneurs within the company. So Emily, our head of sync, who's been 13 years at the company or going on 14, you know, she now runs an 11 person sync team, but 14 years ago it was just her. And she's really developed our international business. And early on it was like, Tyler empowering her, yeah, go over to Berlin, go over to France, go over to London, go build clients there. But like, there was not real proof of concept it was going to work. It was fundamentally, Tyler believed in Emily. She had a passion, she had a vision, and she's done it. And she's now proven herself time and time again. And she's really grown our international business. Another one of the partners of the company, Jake, who's been there the same amount of time as me, 13 years, had passion for growing out a video game division. He was an A&R guy, but said, hey, I think I could kind of be a sync pitching person because I know video games so well and I'm so passionate. I'm a gamer. I hear all the music when I'm playing video games. Tyler, can I go to these conferences and start learning and start meeting all the publishers? And Tyler's like, yep, do it. You know, so I think that's a lot of secret sauce. It's like when you come meet people at position, they all feel, you know, like, I think many entrepreneurs that have their own little sandboxes in the company and which to play.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzi. Executive producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.